Who had a nap this afternoon?
Praise the Lord in the Walmart.
Y'all need to sleep at night. Y'all need to work during the day. Acts 16. Just a couple of months ago, I was reading in Acts 16 in the same story and got something totally different out of it. Yesterday, I started reading Acts 16, or a couple of days ago, I started reading Acts 16 and got something totally different out of it. You know why? The Word of God is always what I call giving birth. It's alive. It's always giving you something. And the more you study and the more you read, the more it'll give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for salvation. And I pray, Lord, that you bless this time, that you give me the word you want me to speak. And I pray that the Holy Spirit have free reign and free unction. And Satan, I rebuke you. I command your imps and demons to flee in the outer darkness in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 16, we find Paul's wanting to go to Asia and preach. And I'm going to mispronounce a word here, so... or two. Don't get the... Don't... Huh? All. That's not mispronouncing. All. That's not what I'm saying. In verse 6, it says, now when they had gone throughout... This is the word I can't pronounce. And the region of Galatia... and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they would come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to him and to them. Excuse me. It said the Holy Spirit forbid them to go to Asia. He wanted to go there. But see, God had something else in store for Paul. He wanted to go somewhere else first. Later on, he went to Asia. But at that time, he didn't want him to go there. I wish that in our trials and tribulation of the day that we could go to sleep, take a little nap during the day maybe, and have a dream and God would tell us exactly what to do. That would be so easy, wouldn't it? Can I tell you something? God wants to tell us what to do every day. But our ears are stopped up. My ears have been stopped up for about 4 weeks now. I guess it's sinuses or something. Normally I can't hear. I really can't hear now. But I wish my ears were in tune with the Holy Spirit that I could know what to do every day. That I'd get up every day and say, Lord, what do you want me what do you want me to do today? And he'd say, Tracy, I want you to do this, this, and this. But you know what? If we read our Bible every day, and we stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to do that in each and every one of our lives. So that we will go in the places that He wants us to go. He will say the things that He wants us to say. In verse 11, it says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. All right, before we moved into Linda's house, not Lydia, but Linda's house last winter, I had read that right before we did that. In fact, I mentioned that to Pastor. At that time, we was thinking about going to Beaver Dams and staying with somebody. But God worked it out that we was going to stay close to the church. What I want to talk to you, what stood out to me about the story this time was in verse 14. First of all, Lydia was not from that place. She was from Thyatira. Do you know where Thyatira is? It's in Asia. So the first convert that Paul had in Macedonia was from Asia. You know what I think God was saying? You're going to go to Asia, but I have something for you to do over here first. It says, in the latter part of that, or in the middle part of the verse, it says, which worship God heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I was a child, I heard the Word of God. But my heart wasn't open to it. I would go over to one of my cousin's house when I was down and out in Hood County, and he would feed me and keep me there, have me a place to stay, but I had to watch the church channel and TBN and all this stuff. I had to listen to the Word of God when I was there. And sometimes that was the furthest thing I wanted to hear, but I listened to it because I was hungry and needed a place to stay. You know what? Every time that somebody drips something on us, or God drips something on us, it changes our heart. I love going. When I first got to the village, I loved it because we had devotions every morning. We had chapel every morning. We had church three times a week. We got to hear the Word of God continually. And I tell you something, that will change somebody's heart. That's what the whole purpose of the village was about, is changing somebody's heart. Winning somebody, getting them out of the world, and getting them to Christ. I was in hog heaven when I got there because I was hearing so much of the Word of God. I was seeing the Word of God change people's lives there also. It's a blessing to see somebody, you see somebody come in that's addicted to drugs, who's ruined their life, and then maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, give their heart to Christ and watch Jesus work in their life. That's the greatest blessing that I ever had in my life, is to sit back and watch God work. A lot of people, there's a lot of missionaries, there's a lot of preachers that never get to see the fruits of their labor, or don't get to see the fruits of their labor as much as you get to see there. It was awesome. But it says, whose heart the Lord opened. Me and Dave were talking the other day about somebody else's heart that God worked on. If you'll turn to Exodus 7, We all know the story of Pharaoh and Moses. We know that every time that Moses went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh told him no, and then one of the plagues happened. Verse 1. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, little god, little g. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Now, everything that God does is for a reason. He did that to show that Egypt, that their little god that they had, wasn't God. That the real God in the land was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wanted to show Israel that he was God, and he wanted to show Egypt that he was God. I don't know about y'all, but I used to be hard-headed. I ain't that anymore. I used to be hard-headed and stubborn. I think all of us are hard-headed and stubborn in some ways. You know what? That's not a good trait to have. Our heart should be tender. It should be open to what God wants us to do. And even after I got saved, I still had a lot of the world's views in my head. And my heart was hardened in some areas of my life that I needed to surrender to God and let God work in those areas. I talked to y'all about anger. I'm so thankful that I don't have an anger problem anymore like I used to. And God still needs to work in my heart and work on some of my anger issues that I have now. But I thank God that He has changed some of my anger. And I thank God that He's going to continue to change as long as I'm open to His Word and to His leading, and change my heart. The other day we was listening to Pastor Mungo, and he was talking about Psalm 51. In verse 17 it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart." We can't come to God with any pride in our life and say, "Hey, this is what I want, and this is what I want you to do." What we need to do is come to Him with a broken heart. And you know what? Sometimes God has to put us in a bad situation for our heart to be broken. And God had to get me, I talked about this last time, but God had to get me alone to break my heart, to break my spirit, where I would have to come to Him. Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, verse 9 and 10. And He said, "Go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." And Dave was talking about this the other day too. Did you know that third world countries are coming to Christ in droves? That they will be there, and they get mad at you if you preach for an hour, because they want you to preach all day long. Some of them walk for days, walk for hours to hear you preach, and they're hungry for the Word. And here in the United States, if you go over 45 minutes, everybody's ready to get a new pastor, because they have places to go. They need to go eat. You see, our hearts are different. We're overfed. We're not hearing, but we're overfed in this country. They're hungry for the Word. It says, "Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes." You know, I shouldn't tell this, but when I was in high school, growing up, junior high and high school, a buddy of mine his mom and dad were big in the Church of Christ, so they was at the Church of Christ every time the doors were open, and he would sit right in. It was a big, huge church, and he would sit right in front of the preacher and fall asleep. And I'm not going to mention Jeff's name, but he would start snoring. And it was like the preacher would look down at him and just shake his head. But see, he had heard his whole life, and it really didn't matter to him. It didn't matter to me then either, but I was respectful. There was no way in the world I was going to sleep during church, even though I wasn't, my heart wasn't open to the Lord. But I had a lot of respect back then. If you will turn to Hebrews 4, and then we're going to go back to Ezekiel. The Bible says that God wrote down the things that happened to Israel when they brought them out of Egypt so that we would learn something from them. So we would not murmur and we would not go after false idols, that we would believe and trust in God. But in Hebrews 4:7 it says, "Again he limits a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." You know, I can tell you that sometimes in my Christian life that I've hardened my heart. There was a guy that was in my hallway over there and at the village, and his heart was hardened. And there was a church service where the Holy Spirit was working on his heart. And I saw him when the invitation was given, that he was sitting in his chair crying like a little baby. God was calling him. Now, I did not do this. I wish I'd have done it now, but I wish I would have got up and grabbed him by the hand and led him down to the altar. But I did not. I just bowed my head and asked God to please pull him out, to draw him to him. Well, God was already drawing him. He was working on his heart. His heart was tender, but he would not stand up and go down to the altar. There's all kinds of things that we could look back on and wish we'd done different. I wish he would have got up and went down to the altar. I wish I would have got up and went down to the altar when I was a kid. God was tugging on my heart in that Baptist church before I started going to the Church of Christ. I was going to the Baptist church because they had a bus ministry. I started going to Church of Christ because my buddy went over there. But God was calling me at a young age at that Baptist church. Isaiah excuse me, Ezekiel 36. We already went there. Ezekiel 36. One day I was broken. I had lived a heathen life. I'm not going to read what I've got written down here. That's just too much scripture. But I'm going to go to verse 16. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for the idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said unto them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." I'm going to stop right there real quick. Now, I wasn't calling myself a Christian because I wasn't a Christian, and I knew it. But when God saved me, the heathen saw that he saved me. He pulled me away from the world and all the things that was in there. And he said, look, now I'm going to make you something. You're no longer going to be addicted to drugs and alcohol and stuff, but I want you to show the heathen that I am God. That I am still the one who can save a life, that can change a life. God did that. I didn't. But I want to tell you something. I had to say, you know what? I need help. I need help. And the first thing that you need to do to somebody to get them saved is to make sure that they know they're lost. Well, I knew I was lost. Nobody needed to tell me that. Nobody needed to tell me that I was doing wrong. But what I needed was to know that God was real. And God showed that He was real in my life. But He also showed the heathen, the people around me, that He was real. I can't tell you how many people that I used to hang around with that are saved now. Not because I went and shared the gospel with them, because they saw Jesus working in my life. They saw a great change in me. Verse 24 says, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols, which I cleanse, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away this stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you the heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." I tried to clean up a lot of times in my life, but you know what? God cleaned me up just like that. Did you know what? He took that heart of stone that was in my heart was black. My heart was hard. But when God saved me, He changed that heart. He gave me a heart of flesh. He done the same thing to you when you got saved. But can I tell you something? When you're going through your Christian walk and you are saved, you can harden your heart to God. There may be something in this book that you don't agree with, and you can harden your heart to it. You may be mad at somebody and have unforgiveness in your heart. That hardens your heart. You may be angry and have your heart hardened. There's all kinds of ways to harden your heart even after you're saved. But God says, I want you to have a tender heart. I want you to have a heart that's after me. What did God say about David? He didn't say, David is my perfect servant. He said, God is my servant that's after my own heart. So if we could sit down at the table or sit down in your chair and God could walk in today, what would He say about your heart? What would He say about my heart? Is my heart after God the way it used to be? Is my heart tender and pliable? If you would, turn to Jeremiah 18 real quick. In verse 1 it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." You know what? My clay was marred. And he took it, and he changed it. He put some water in that, and he got that hardness, and he got it soft again, and he made me a new vessel. He did that when he saved me. Can I tell you something? God wants to keep us where He can mold us into what He wants us to be. In verse 19, it talks about He's going to throw the pot down and break it because He can't do anything with it. In our lives, we need to understand that we need to be tender. Our heart needs to be tender to what God wants us to do. You know, I think about Abraham. I think about David. I think about Joseph. I think of all the great people in the Bible. whose heart was broken. He comes up to Abraham and he says, I'm going to give you a son. And 24 years later, he still doesn't have a son. But in those 24 years, he shows him that, you know what? I am going to take care of you, Abraham. I am God. I can bless you out in the middle of the wilderness. Your family's not here. There's nobody here. There's nobody here to bless you but me. And then he said, this time next year, you're going to have a son. And Abraham laughed. And then when Sarah heard it, she laughed. And then the next year, they were all laughing for joy because Isaac was born. I think of David when he was told that he as a teenager that he's going to be king of Israel. And then he could defeat Goliath. He's in the king's palace. He thinks everything's great. And all of a sudden the king comes at him. And he's running from his life. And he thinks, how in the world can I be king of Israel? I may be killed any minute. And I think of Joseph who had a dream, a godly dream. God gave him that dream. And everything, all of his family hated him. Every time he turned around, something was happening to him. He got sold into slavery. He was in Potiphar's house. And the next thing you know, he's in prison for something he didn't do. And then one day God says, okay, come out. It's time. You know, in our lives, we could get brokenhearted about a lot of things, and it looks like God ain't going to do anything for us. But if we would keep our heart in tune to what God wants us to do, that we wouldn't harden our heart, that we wouldn't do what the Israelites did after they come out of Egypt, that we would trust in God, that we obey God and do what God wants us to do, that what He promised, He will do. You see, He's doing all this to try us. Not to tempt us, but to try us, to see what's in our heart. That's what they said. The Bible says that he was doing to Abraham. Abraham, do you really believe me? You know what? Everything that God told Abraham he was going to do, he did. Everything that God told Abraham he was going to do, he did. Now, I don't know how old Isaac was when they went up on the mountain, but he could carry his own wood. And the Bible says that Abraham didn't argue or anything. That he just obeyed God. Do you know what we need to do in our lives? We need to keep our heart tender. So when God tells us to do something, we do it. Whether we understand it or not. You know what? Paul didn't argue with him. When he gave him a vision of the guy in Macedonia saying, come over here and preach to us. He just went over there. And the very first convert he had over there was from Asia. I believe that was God saying, hey, Paul, just to continue to do what I tell you to do. Everything's going to work out. If we would do that, our lives would be so much better. In Jeremiah 29, we all know what verse 11 says. But verse 13 says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Do we really search for God with all of our heart every day? Are we mindful of Him every day? Your testimony about, is it your cousin, your uncle? Cousin? Says they pray every day. At a certain time, that they love God before they love anybody else. Well, we're at church. We believe in God. We pray. We believe that God saved us and everything. But are we after Him with all of our heart? You know, this has been a hectic summer. This is happening, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. Everything's happening. And it doesn't look like it's happening for good. But can I tell you something? God's working. God knows what's going on. God was working when David was running from Saul. God was working when Abraham was in a desert without a child. God was working in Joseph's life when he was at Potter's house and when he was in prison. He was working. And when God says, okay, David, you're 30 years old, you're going to be king of Israel. He became king of Israel. When he told Abraham, this day next year, you're going to have a child. He had a child. What I'm saying is, we don't need to worry about how God's going to get us somewhere. We don't need to understand everything that He's doing in our lives. What we have to do is trust Him and keep our heart tender and not harden our heart because everything's going wrong in our lives. Because God's working it out for good. And that if we just be obedient, that God's going to bless us in the end. I know one thing. When hard times come, I seek God. Because, man, there's a lot of things that I would love to go up and ask somebody, hey, what do you think ought about doing this? What do you think ought to do this? What are gonna? But man doesn't know. But God knows what I should do. So are we really seeking God with our own heart? Or do we say, all right, God, this is we're creatures of habit. And sometimes we can get in the habit of just doing things automatically. It's Sunday morning. Okay, I'm going to automatically do my Sunday morning thing. Go to church. Come back. Read, pray. Do the things that we automatically do. But what about on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? Do we automatically get up and say, Lord, how you doing? Thank you for another day. I'm sure glad you love me. Lord, teach me what I need to do today. Show me what I need to do today. Keep your heart in tune to what God wants you to do. Keep your heart tender and don't harden it. Because there's a lot of things in our life that can get us off track. There's a lot of things in our life that can keep us from reading and praying like we should. There's a lot of things in our life that will harden our heart if we're not careful. That our goal should be that if God walked in today and was talking to somebody, they could say that there's Tracy. He's a man after God's own heart. There's Dave. He's a man after my heart. There's so-and-so. He's a man after my own heart. That's what our goal should be, is to please God. Because if we please God, He can make our enemies sit down and watch us eat. I like that. I like eating. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you so much for salvation. And Lord, I pray that we could be a soft vessel for you to mold into whatever you want us to be. Lord, that we wouldn't harden our heart and say, no, we're not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. That we could say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And I pray, Lord, that we could keep a soft heart, that we would seek after you with all of our heart, Lord, that we could be like David. And, Lord, that we could be blessed of you. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us a great night, be with the fellowship, and keep everybody safe going home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand, we'll offer for invitation. See if you remember this song. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since Jesus came again. There's been a great change since I've been saved. There's been a great change.